Welcome to the interview section of the show, and today I'm very happy to bring on Steve Dolansky, who is my friend and also someone who holds dear some of the things that I do, including the older LGBT population. That's how we met. We both had websites for that demographic, and then we ended up collaborating on a short story anthology that was a Lambda Literary Award finalist featuring LGBT writers over 50. And I think we're all in our 60s now, Steve, because that was 9 years ago. Can you believe it?
Some of us are past our 60s, Mark.
And I started LGBT Senior when I was 55. That was 53, actually. So that's 12 years ago.
Okay.
Anyways, it's really nice to talk to you. It was so nice to meet you out in LA when Frank and I were there a year ago, just about it right now, a year ago.
That's right.
And one of the things that you talked to me about, which is what we're going to discuss today, is called guided autobiography. Now, I recently became a certified instructor, and I did it because you told me about this. I was excited to do it and look into it, and I'm really happy to be pursuing it going forward. And I would like you to talk a little bit about that and how you found guided autobiography, and then we'll discuss what it is.
Okay, Mark, I'm so happy to be here today, too, with you to talk about this, because it is something that's close to my heart. And I found out about guided autobiography, or GAB, as we like to call it, G-A-B, through a friend of mine, actually a colleague of mine that I had worked with for many years when I was an adult literacy instructor. And she had a friend in Oregon, I think it was Oregon, or Washington, in Seattle, Joanne. And Joanne had been a guided autobiography instructor. And Elizabeth, my friend, was telling me about Joanne's experience, and it sounded like something I really wanted to find out about. So I went online, went to the Biren Institute, found out about GAB, found out about the training that was being offered, and was it in 2022, over a year ago, I took the same training that you did and became a certified GAB instructor. And then I've been teaching GAB classes this year at the Los Angeles Gay and Lesbian Center. And now GAB, guided autobiography, sounds as if we're working with adult learners who want to write their autobiography. The case is that many older adults do want to write about their lives, but not necessarily an autobiography. What they'd want to write about are certain experiences in their lives and pass this on to their family, to their children, their grandchildren, and so on. So I've kind of modified what I call it. I call it guided autobiographical writing, which is not the same as autobiography. Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you feel that way too?
We've talked, and I've been referring to it as thematic journaling, because in the process, generally speaking, it takes place over 6 weeks, or, you know, that seems to be a minimum, although I'm working up on short workshops right now to introduce people to it. But we write on themes. Yes. You know, each week you're writing on a different theme. And so it's not an autobiography. It can be if you want it to be, but it really is about working on these themes that help us explore our past, and whether it's the role of money in our lives, or even death and dying, which just seems really heavy because it kind of is. But, you know, there's all these different themes, and it's really flexible because you can decide what themes you want to write on, but you're correct. It's not an autobiography.
Well, part of the reason I think it developed that way was because, and I've had this experience with a few of the seniors. I'm now going to be working in senior living facilities here in Los Angeles. And I had a meeting the other day to present the idea to a group of these senior, mostly women, in this particular residence. And several of them have said they want to write about their lives, or had wanted to write about their lives, but they really didn't know where to begin. And that's the value, I think, of having the themes available. And there, you know, dozens of themes that you can choose from, but you don't have to create it out of whole cloth. It's right there. Choose the theme that you want to work on. Write 800 or 1,000 words, and that's how we proceed with it. get the assignment this week, go home, write 800 or 1,000 words on whatever the theme may be, death and dying, for example, and come back the following week and share what you've written with the class.
There are also a lot of additional kinds of handouts and flash writing, writing about a room, like a room from childhood, and describing that and who was there and what emotionally it brings up for you, because that's what most of it is about, is reconnecting with the things that shaped us into who we are, you know. And I also think that for instance, when I was doing mine, my father kept coming up, and I finally said, I'm not writing about this man anymore. I went through therapy for, you know, like really good therapy for a few years to deal with this. I'm done dealing with this. But when you're writing about things from your past, these things are going to come up, and we realize that they're always going to be part of us. But like I was saying, there are other handouts and things that you do besides this, because each class generally is 2 hours long. And the second hour is when you're reading, everybody reads what they wrote. And also, I want to point out too, with you, with the LGBT Center, that it is a little bit different for us, I think. And that came up for me when I was doing the classes, because some of it is, I don't want to say heteronormative, but geared toward people with children and grandchildren, like legacies.
Oh, I think you are right in using that word heteronormative, because when so people understand, for each theme, that there is a list of guiding questions to help trigger and stimulate people's memories. And what I noticed very often in these questions, the assumption was that people grew up in a sort of traditional household with a mother and a father, et cetera, et cetera. They had certain opportunities that I think, by and large, it's mostly the white privileged class that has those opportunities, and didn't take into account, for instance, and in the LGBT community, didn't take into account someone in the family who might have been gay or transgender. Because when these things were developed 30 years ago, those particular issues were not at the forefront. And so now things like pronouns, for example, that became a big point of discussion in one of my classes when we were talking about gender and sexuality. So I rewrote many of the questions, or took out some questions and wrote some questions that were specific to an LGBTQ or people of color, their situations.
Yeah, I understand. I've done a little bit of that too. And sometimes it would refer especially about to leaving, what do you want to leave your children and your grandchildren? Well, many of us don't have children and grandchildren. So it's flexible enough to allow us to create different models for different groups of people. And I like that, because also, even with the confidentiality, when you're working with a group of older gay people, LGBT people, there are things that in our lives that we're not necessarily going to talk about in what might be called mixed company, or we have experiences that are unique to being LGBTQ. So having a model that can be applied specifically for that group, I think, is really good. You know,
and you mentioned confidentiality, which is an important thing in any group, but especially I think in our LGBTQ groups. As you've said, we have to provide or create an environment where people feel safe, where people feel that they can share some of these experiences, and that it's going to remain there. This is not going to become a source of gossip or ridicule in some way.
So I think that's very important. I want to also touch on the fact that it's not just for elderly people or older people, because when I started the classes, I thought, oh, wow, everybody's aiming to work with seniors or senior centers and that sort of thing. What I'm trying for locally as an in-person group really is aimed at sort of midlife folks, because I'm not in a position yet where I want to go to various senior centers and I'm just bringing this up because it can, again, the model can be geared toward different groups of people and different age groups. It's not just about being an old person who wants to leave your legacy for your kids, your grandkids. It can be applied in any number of circumstances with any number of groups.
Yes. And I think I think it takes a bit of maturity. So if we're talking about, talk about age groups, I would be thinking, people maybe in their late 40s, 50s, early 60s, something like that, rather than advanced seniors. The folks that I'm going to be dealing with at this residence are going to be in their 80s in most cases.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
One or two are already in their 90s. But the mid-level seniors, 50, 60, they have a lot of experience and a lot of things to reflect on. And
I think I like the woman who runs the coffee shop where I'm going to do my in-person workshop and hopefully a 6-week one too. She's very excited. She's probably my age, maybe a little younger, but she's really into it. And at the church that I go to, where I'm going to also do a 6-week workshop or 6-week class, they already are doing different kinds of journaling and this sort of thing. And it's not just something you want to do at the end of life,
No, but as you mature, you do tend to reflect back on your life, especially when you get, to 60 or so, you really do go, okay, I have to kind of evaluate what have I done in my life? When you do that, I kind of shortchanged myself in the thought when I got to be 70-ish, I thought, gee, I'm 70 years old and this is my life. What have I done?
Yeah.
And I thought, now don't go down that road. Look at what you have done in your life. And I felt so much better about doing that little bit of inventory and what I had done, the people that I've met, the places that I've gone, the experiences that I've had. It's been a rich and rewarding life. And I feel better about it as a result.
Yes. And I also, I got a lot out of reconnecting with my own past.
Yes.
Because I tend to, several of the other, by the way, I became pretty, pretty, I don't want to say good friends with the other 10 people who were in the course that I took, but we have stayed in touch. We have an email group and we're going to reconnect on Zoom. Mm-hmm. And it's a really nice sort of support system, and I liked everybody. And you reveal so much about yourself in mm-hmm. these things, touching on the confidentiality sort of. I mean, you're exposing yourself to this group of people, and a lot of them, you make really good connections. And I it's rediscovery. It's not a lot of it is discovery, because I've been discovering things, like I said, in therapy about my parentage, but there's a rediscovery to what we're doing, to like, oh my gosh, I forgot about how important this was in my life.
And also how your perspective has changed, at least in my case.
How we've grown too. In a lot of instances, it's like, boy, I'm so glad I made it past that. And I'm content now. I'm 65 and I'm living a good life. And this is what I went through to get here. I just think it's a really, really good, rich thing to do. And is there anything you want to say in terms of, people being able to find you as a GAP instructor?
Well, you can find me. Can you send out my email, or should I just give it to you now? You can contact me via email. I don't have a website up yet.
Well, if you want to say the email, sure.
Okay. Well, it's real simple. It's Steve, my first name, Steve, STEVE, and my zip code, 91604, 91604 @gmail.com. And just contact me. Just let me know that you heard about it via the podcast.
Yes. And for me, because I just am, I'm just always trying to get everything together. It's yourrightpath.com. That's YOUR right, WRITE path.com. You can read more about guided autobiography and my other workshops. And, I know this interview isn't really to plug me, but that's what we're doing. And I know that you and I intend because it's about intention to do some workshops or classes together, and I'm very excited about that.
Me too.
Later this year. Steve, I want to thank you for coming on and talking about this, and I'm so glad we finally met. We had been friends for I think it was nine years ago, the Lammy.
I think so. 2015, I think.
Yeah, because Facebook tells me they won't let me forget anything. Well, and the Lambda Literary nomination was 9 years ago. Okay, well, and we had been doing it for probably almost 2 years before that. So
something like that, yeah.
We finally met. I'm excited. I think you are an inspiration. I know you told me not to go over the top.
Totally sell it.
But well, you're an inspiration.
I think we inspire each other. I think that's important. Too.
Yeah, it's really important that everybody inspires each other. Thanks again.
Okay, and Mark, thank you.
I'll be in touch.
Okay.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.